From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall.
I felt surprised, but I don't even know if I can call it surprise anymore.
This is Daryl C. Murphy, reporter for WHYY's Plan Philly.
You see this report, you see these numbers. I am a black man. I pretty much had a pretty solid idea of what this report was going to be.
The report Daryl is talking about is the first of its kind study from the city of Philadelphia on the health and life expectancy of black men.
It shows black men have a far shorter average lifespan than every other group, and they die early for lots of reasons.
Heart disease, accidents, homicide, lung cancer, prostate cancer, diabetes.
Why do black men in Philadelphia have a lower life expectancy than everybody else? And why is it important that we all work to close that gap?
Today on The Why, Black Longevity Matters. So Daryl, tell me about the release of this report.
So the city put out this report. It's called Brotherly Love. It's an examination of the state of health of black males in the city. What it finds is that black men in Philadelphia have a life expectancy of about 69 years, and that's significantly less than other men in other groups and women.
How do these numbers compare to the national numbers?
Nationally, life expectancy is 78.69 years, so that's almost 79 years. So, you know, in Philadelphia, we're looking at we're 10 years behind that for black males. Also, it found that the number one cause for premature death for black men or black males between the ages of 15 and 34 is homicide. These really like stark, harsh facts are all compiled into this one report to give people a sense of how severe the situation is for black males. So you can see it all at one time and, you know, put it in people's hands and have a conversation about it and try to come up with some solutions.
This is pretty alarming. You did talk to an epidemiologist who kind of broke it down for you, right?
Yes, I spoke with Raynard Washington. He was one of the doctors who worked on the report.
Recognizing that black men and boys are a significant proportion, about 20% of the population in Philadelphia, their health experience and health outcomes really do drive the overall health outcomes for the city.
Daryl, you recently went to a men's health fair. Tell me what it was like.
So I went to Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church in Mount Airy. It's a huge church, has, you know, thousands of members, and they do a lot of work in the community. You go in and you register and see, you know, whatever it is you want to do, and then you go into this massive room, and there's, you know, all these tables in there where you could go get tested, you can get information.
Kidney screening.
In the back, they had they were giving out free haircuts.
The barber chairs, the barbershop, of course, we have March Madness on the television.
Upstairs, they had a place where they were giving away clothes, met somebody who was preparing for a job interview, you know, showing that they were trying to address also that portion of male health.
Hmm. So not just like physical health, but other aspects of well-being.
Yeah, because that's a part of it, right?
We have a hearing screening and as well as an eye.
Eye test, ear test, everything.
They even had people checking the soles of your feet.
There was a doctor there who was checking for, you know, the vascular health of your feet.
I'm Dr. Renzi. Ronald.
Making sure your blood was flowing properly, because that's a big issue in the diabetic community.
Our program is called Save Your Souls. It's an amputation reduction program. Black men in Philadelphia have a very high amputation rate, not black women. Black women are actually doing pretty well.
I even came at a time where somebody was, where he was like, hey, this guy's got to get checked out soon. It was real. Mm-hmm. So these tests were legit. These tests were something that they could take to their primary care physician to get some action.
So you talked to this one man, Russell Davis.
I'm 63.
Who was there to get checked out. You know, what's his story?
Russell Davis was somebody who was living in a shelter at the time, and he said that he typically only goes to the doctor when something is wrong.
I don't normally go to the doctor and get checked out.
So he figured he would come to the event and just take advantage of all the services that they were offering.
I had everything checked. My blood, my pressure, my sugar, HIV, Hep C.
And what did he find out?
He found some good news. For what he told me, he said that so far so good.
And I'm going to do some more tests.
So Daryl, when you dig into the numbers, there are just a lot of things driving this reduced life expectancy, right?
Dr. Reynard Washington, who had worked on this study, and Dwayne Wharton.
I'm the Director of External Affairs with the Food Trust. I'm also the Vice Chair for the Mayor's Commission on African American Males.
Both brought up that the issues behind the health of black men is systemic.
We want this to be a tool for people in communities to understand that the conditions that they're facing are not simply individual and unique to them, that is not because of poor decisions that they've made or their individual life circumstances, but because there are structural issues that have been placed upon them.
Lack of education, lack of employment, access to guns, poverty, all those things together are what's causing people to act out in unhealthy ways against themselves and each other.
So, this is such a huge problem, Daryl. Are there any people on the ground trying to deal with these problems?
I'm Ted Corbin. I'm an emergency medicine physician, and I co-direct the Center for Nonviolence and Social Justice with John.
My name is John Rich. I'm a primary care physician by training.
I spoke with Dr. John Rich and Dr. Ted Corbin.
And here at the Center for Nonviolence and Social Justice, our real mission is to attend to the issues of trauma and violence, particularly as they affect the lives and health of young people of color in urban environments.
One thing that Dr. John Rich brought up was how trauma from gun violence can actually lead to the perpetuation of gun violence.
There are ways in which men often, for example, hold in their distress rather than talking to somebody about it.
When you experience trauma, you don't have any healthy outlets.
If you're a child and you suffer the weight of adversity in your neighborhood or living in an unsafe neighborhood, and you may suffer violence at the hands or intimidation at the hands of the police, that causes stress. Now, that's coming out some way, right? It's going to either come out. It might come out in terms of violence. It might come out in terms of opioid use. It will eventually come out in terms of cardiovascular disease. So this stress is coming out in some way or another.
And ultimately, it could also lead to gun violence, you know, where you don't know how to process your emotions. I think one of the things that was really interesting that Dr. Rich brought up, and it was after I began packing up and I was getting ready to leave, and he brought up the concept of toxic masculinity.
That stigma can lead you to drink or use opioids, or in some cases, that desperation can lead you to hurt yourself.
I think one thing that we can't overlook in this report is that we are talking about men. And, you know, men in this country are brought up in a culture where they aren't always taught the best ways to take care of themselves.
Some of that is also about not wanting to be vulnerable, because that is what the society tells us that we're all about.
This concept of toxic masculinity is not distant from this report at all.
So the more we open up, and I think young people are doing this much better perhaps now, is opening up to each other, talking about trauma, talking about what things make them sad, what things make them anxious, so that there's an opportunity for them to heal from it.
So Daryl, if these numbers reflect what we've known for a long time, why would this report make a difference?
Well, having it all compiled in one place will give people a sense of the severity of the situation and also give them a vocabulary of how to talk about it. More people are beginning to embrace therapy to improve their mental health and, you know, face their traumas and triggers and things like that.
And in fact, the two authors kind of talked to you a little bit about how they embrace therapy, right?
Yep.
I mean, the struggle is real.
After talking with them, you know, they brought up the fact that they're in therapy themselves.
And one of the big things is that, you know, I have a therapist now, like someone I'm talking with who can really help me get through some of these, things that are weighing heavy on me.
I say ditto. I don't, you know, I have a therapist. It works.
So, Daryl, what are we risking if we don't deal with this problem?
You're risking leaving about 20% of the city behind, which, even if we take away all the moral implications of the systemic problems, we're talking about a huge drain on the city. That's a loss of employees. That's a hit to your tax base. That's medical costs in the city. So it's just a huge drain, and it's something that ought to be addressed.
Daryl, thank you so much.
Thanks, Daryl.
Thank you.
The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov and Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. We had editing help for this episode from Eugene Song.
Tweet us at Shai Ben-Yaakov and at Annette JH.
We'll see you tomorrow.